You are listening to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games and role-playing gamers.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.
Hello and welcome to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games and the people who play them. I've been inside my house for so long. My name is Ran Aviram.
And my name is Uri Lifshitz. Hello!
And together we have gathered here online, of course. We never see each other and in any normal day. And in these strange days, of course, we will not even be in a, what's the shortest distance you're allowed to be from another human being? 2 kilometers?
I'm not keeping... 300 feet at the moment.
Okay.
No, wait. I'm not allowed to be out of my house
for more than... 6 squares. No, one movement.
One movement.
One movement action. Okay, so...
Actually, the best description I've heard so far is that if you're walking in the street, if you're out in public, and you're close enough to provoke an attack of opportunity from anyone, then you're doing it wrong.
Good point, yeah. Rich one. Okay, so in any case, because we can't see each other, I mean, and this is the royal we, all of us, we are all royal. We are all in our houses and we can't meet to play. Many of us have transitions to online virtual tabletops to play with each other. And that presents a new problem for some of us. Many GMs find that they are not used to running online or just don't feel like it because it is very different. Well, maybe not very different, but it's quite different. And the transition can be problematic or jarring. However, this does not mean we don't have to play at all online. It just means that we might want to shift things around a bit and maybe find games that are without a GM. Storytelling games in which all of us have the same role, more or less, and we switch around some sort of power of narrative, and each of us say something, add something to the story, really depending on the specific game. And we have some recommendations, and all of them can be played online. We should begin with the game that both Uri and I automatically go to when someone says GMless game.
Yep.
It's the thing that just is at the top of our pile of games. Microscope!
And
I think there are two reasons for this. First, it's really, really simple. You only need a few index cards. If you're playing online, you only need a Google document. I'm not even sure if I would recommend using Roll20 or Virtual Tabletop. I think a document is probably better than using an actual tabletop because it is such a simple layout. And second, it's really good. It almost always works flawlessly and you... In the end, after however long you decide to play, you are left with an interesting storyline, a history that you created with your friends.
Just to give the people who are not familiar with the game a quick recap, Microscope is a world-building game. Basically, you and any number of other players who are currently playing, creating a timeline by defining eons and eras in the development of the world. Basically, you start off with saying, okay, we're going to be playing from this event, the great cataclysm, the creation of the universe, the exodus of Star X or whatever, and up to this random point in time, the end of the universe, the great war of Khazad-dûm, etc. And every player, in their own turn, create an era. Inside any eras, you can create specific events, such as the Great Battle of the Moon, or the marriage of Prince Humperdinck and Glorifique. And within every event, you can create scenes. So you can actually drill down to small scenes that exist to answer a specific question. It's a bit of a stretch to call this a role-playing game, because the main focus here is not the role-playing, is the world-building. However, if you create a scene, you are encouraged to play it out and discover what really happened in there. I still remember the night I fell in love with Microscope. Me and my then-girlfriend, current wife, were stuck in a hotel with nothing to do. And I said, well, there's this cool game which I've heard of, wanna play? And she said, yeah, why not? And I said, cool, all we need is a few pieces of paper and pen and let's go. We don't even need dice. And we spent like 4 hours playing Microscope, creating this amazing story and plot lines and development of races within this story. And you finish a Microscope game feeling like a tiny god, as if you have just watched a whole universe unfold, eons passing by before your eyes. And what I really like about this, which I don't get from many other games, is much like Eran mentioned, is that much like Eran mentioned beforehand, when you finish the game, you stand up and you look on this long list of paper cutouts or index card, and you can see the unfolding of the entire game, of the entire world you have created. So it has a very satisfying ending, even when you end it. You are left with something very tangible. And playing it on a Google Doc is just as easy.
We'll give a link to lamemage.com, which is where you can find all of Ben Robbins' work. I highly recommend Microscope Explorer, which is sort of a companion book that gives you interesting prompts and some new good ideas on how to embellish your Microscope game. There are also two other games that he wrote later. One is called Kingdom, in which you and your group of friends manage and create a kingdom. And it is somewhat more complex than Microscope, still probably worth a check. And there's Follow, which is a game about creating a quest, something that is interesting for us to explore, and then going on that quest. And it is much more abstract than Microscope. And I find it a bit weird. I haven't tried to play it yet. I'm not sure I will. All of these, however, are definitely worth your $10 for a PDF, especially if you're interested in seeing how to create a good storytelling game in which everyone gets good prompts that allow them to improvise something that is both interesting and within the lines of what we decided on. The next game I want to recommend is For the Queen. It's relatively new. I think it's the newest game we're recommending here. It's from Evil Heads Productions. It's a very simple game. It's also very art-based. It has a lot of cards and a lot of art on the cards, and you might ask yourself, how do I play this online? And the answer is using Roll20. There's an official module for Roll20, and it only costs like $8, and you get the entire game with the original art, everything already formatted using the Roll20 inbuilt card engine. For the Queen is a game in which we are all playing a group of people who accompany the Queen on her journey. First, we decide who is the Queen by choosing a picture, and then we answer questions about her and about us and about the journey. And eventually, we decide if the Queen survives or, well, if we kill her. And it is an amazing thing to see. I haven't yet played this, but I saw people play it, and I heard from people who have been playing it that this is, for such a simple premise, it is quite evocative, apparently, and it works very well. It's not very long. Microscope can take ages if you want to. For the Queen can take maybe an hour, maybe an hour and a half, at most, probably even less. It is probably very much worth your time if you're looking for the cutting edge and most high production values of what are storytelling games these days. Shout out for Evil Head Productions, who also do Fate, and most of their games are available all year long as Pay What You Want on DriveThruRPG, and that's very much worth you checking it out as well.
Also, shout out for Evil Head for creating awesome games. Pretty much everything they do is awesome.
Yes, yes, and they sponsor some amazing stuff.
The next game we want to talk about is The Quiet Year, a very interesting storytelling game, which is a community-based storytelling game. In The Quiet Year, you tell the story of a community, of 1 year in the life of a community. You don't actually play characters. You play factions and events that happen to a specific community during one quiet year. The Quiet Year starts after an event referred to as the war with the jackals and end when the frost shepherds come. Now, these two events can be literally anything that you decide. You use a deck of cards, a specific deck of cards that you have in the Quiet Year, and each card represents a specific event that takes place in the community. You describe the event and how the community moved forward through and past it. And I love it because you can really sense how communities work when you play The Quiet Year. It's about factions. It's about like-minded people. It's about interests and people working together toward their common goals. And above all else, the phrasing of the questions and event is interesting and evocative,
yes,
and lead you to create very interesting narratives. They really did an amazing job there.
The game is by Avery Adler, who you might also know from Monster Hearts and Dream Askew and various other really, well, powerful and also quite famous games these days. But The Quiet Year is a GM-less game, unlike the others, and it's meant as a sort of, I think, a calm sort of thing. It's called The Quiet Year. While interesting things might happen, none of them are like war.
War, uprising. Things don't change, they slowly evolve.
Yes. The Quiet Year gained a lot of traction thanks to its innovative use of cards to create, as Uri said, evocative questions. But I think that even more so, it was a brilliant decision to make them transitions through suits, which are in this game seasons. So you begin in spring, and the cards of spring have specific questions. And then to summer, and those cards have other questions. And the questions of each season create a specific story for that season, specific things that are important in the storyline. Like, for example, at the beginning of the game, you need to know more about your environment. You need to know more about your encampment and who is in it. So the questions are about that. But during autumn and winter, as the year comes to an end, you want to create conflict and you want then to resolve them. So the questions revolve around that. And that's very interesting. It's so interesting that I decided to take the same concept and created my own game built on it with Avery Adler's permission. It's called Ventured Forth, and it's about a group of player characters going through a D&D-like campaign through three eras, mimicking the D&D 4th edition diversion into eras, which I think is a clever thing to do. Heroic, and then the Paragon, and then Epic. Because at first you are dealing with rats in a cellar, and then you are working for the king, and then you save the world from interdimensional invasion. So I would also recommend my game here, Venture Forth. However, unlike The Quiet Year, which is available through Roll20 as a single module that you can right now buy and play with high production values, Venture Forth is only available as a PDF with all of the cards in it. So you will need to either give it to everyone in the group, or one of you guys will need to show in the video or just point at some file to share with everyone whenever you are talking about a specific card. That being said, there's also an app for Android for Venture Forth, which is weird, I know, but I had a friend that created the app as a sort of an experiment. He and his friends in work wanted to work on a project. So now Venture Forth is available as an app for, I think, £2 or $2 through the Google Play Store. So I'll give a link to that as well. The app is, unfortunately, again, single player. I mean, it's not single player. It's in a single location. You can't share it automatically with other people. So you will need to either read out loud the card or something like that.
And of course, Iran is biased. So you can trust me to tell you that this is an amazing game. Venture Forth is so much fun. And often when I don't have the time or energy to actually play a whole campaign with people, I just meet with them and we play Venture Forth. And it's so much easier. You don't need to know any system. You don't need to roll dice. Super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
I think it's a pretty good game. It can probably become better, but that's true for, well, all games. If there is enough of a demand, I will try to create a Roll20 module for VentureForth, please send us an email regarding this or anything else to show@dwarfcast.net. We would love to hear about GMless games that you are playing in these strange times. Either things that are already built into Roll20 or some other virtual tabletop, or have their own strange, unique method for being played online, or just games that you like and found a way to play online with friends. Before we end, however, we must say something about Swords Without Master. Sword Without Master is a game by Efideia Ravahol. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, sir.
Unlikely, though.
Unlikely. And it's a strange game for several reasons. First of all, it was never published on its own. It's only available in issue 3 of the magazine Worlds Without Master, which is about GMless games. Swords Without Master became, I'm not sure exactly how or why, a very important game in the GMless game scene. So it's weird that it's only available there. Even weirder is, I bought it, I read it, and I don't understand it. I mean, I have no idea how to play this game. It is so abstract and so, in a way, complicated that I am unable, unfortunately, to play it. I saw people play it. I saw Efidaya run the game in some YouTube video somewhere, and I'm not sure I understand how I would enjoy this game. It has some interesting concepts, like there's a storm coming. The storm is some sort of threat that is slowly building up. There are dice that you use to create interesting random variants on things happening. But the way that you resolve scenes is so abstract that it is hard for me to grok it. That being said, because it is such an important game, we would recommend that you maybe check it out anyway. It's only $4 for that specific issue of Swords Without Master. And as I said, you can find plays of it online if you want to see how it is being handled.
I must point out at this point, because I forgot to mention this in the beginning, that a lot of the inspiration to create this list and of recommendation is due to our good friend Richard Williams, whom you might know as Apostolary Richard, who did a whole series on Games Without Masters titled Games Without Masters on his Twitter feed. And of course, we will give a link in the show notes to his Twitter profile. You should be following him anyway, regardless of this specific amazing thing that he did.
Yes.
The second reason we're giving out this recommendation is because, as we've mentioned, these are strange times and we all have it a bit rough. I feel that playing a game without a game master helps share the load a little bit more evenly. No one need to put in the prep time. No one need to be the person in charge, fully focused. If your regular game has been cancelled because one of the guys can't make it, because the GM is too tired, because you just plain don't like playing your regular game online because it's too much of a difference from the friends around the table atmosphere, that's fine. Keep your sessions happening. Keep that semblance of normality and keep the campaign going. But simply play another game. All of these games are relatively simple games. They don't take a lot of time and effort to get started. And pretty much each and every one of them can be learned by watching 20 minutes of a YouTube video where people are playing the game. You will also notice that most of these games can be bought as PDFs or on the Roll20 marketplace. And this is an excellent time to remind all of us that if you are financially capable of doing that, you can support other game designer by purchasing PDFs online. That is the simplest way. Simply go to our show notes, click on the links, and purchase these fine PDFs, and money will directly go to game designers.
Green Ronin Games, which are a pretty big publisher, doing stuff like Mutants and Mastermind, and the Age Games, which includes The Expanse, which is a new RPG that they just released, they have publicly said that because of the virus quarantine, their physical sales have plummeted so much that they are currently asking people, please buy PDFs. This is important for us to keep alive. this is important for us to float. And I completely understand. And so I bought some PDFs of theirs, which is even easier these days because they give a great discount on all of their stuff on their store. So you should probably check them out, Green Ronin, or anyone else, because everyone is in the same problem these days. But now it's time for us to take the load off.
This world is carried on the shoulders of the dwarves.
This is the part of the show in which we talk about role-playing games in our personal lives, and I would like to begin by saying what I am currently running. I am running two games. First of all, my Hell's Rebels game, which has been running for, well, I think almost a year, half a year? A long time, in my local gaming club, Hell obviously switched online, and we are playing through Roll20 using Discord for voice chat. I would love to have some video, but we are as of yet unable to make that work. And it's kind of fun running online. First of all, because I have two screens, so everything is always available. On one screen I have the Roll20 table, and on the other one I can have the SRD for Pathfinder open and I can search through it with ease and clarity, and I only need to prepare a few tokens beforehand, and all of the maps, I already have them because I have the PDFs for the games, for the adventures. So it's fun. However, it is also very condensed. We only play 2 hours at a time because of various constraints. Among other things, my attention span online is always hard for me. And we only manage like an encounter or two. So we barely get anything done.
Yeah, it's so hard.
It's not that we're not having fun. I'm having fun. I hope they're having fun. But the story is crawling forward, and that can be, on the long run, quite annoying. I can imagine the players asking themselves, what are we even doing in this dungeon? We are supposed to be rebels, and we're not rebelling inside this dungeon. And I get it. I get it. The dungeon was supposed to end, you know, in real time a few weeks back, and we would then continue on to rebelling. And then the dungeon being cleared would have been very helpful for various reasons. But in real time, it did not happen, and we are still in the dungeon, and it feels weird. I want to contrast that with Forge of Fury, which is a D&D 3 edition converted to D&D 5. I think it's called Tales in the Yawning Portal. That's the book that converted various games from previous editions. And it is available through Roll20 for like $5. And I bought it and I'm running it because I really like it. It's the first adventure that I translated to Hebrew in 2001. And I liked it even then. It's an interesting, fun dungeon with very little beyond that. And that's exactly the sort of thing I want these days to run for my group. And every Sunday now we meet for, again, about 2 hours. We play a bit. Last time, most of the 2 hours were about the journey back from the dungeon, escorting some peasants, and there was a random encounter, and most of the game was about that. But it was fun. It was fun, and we are not rushing anywhere, so it's cool. I'm fine with it. This time, unlike with the Hell's Rebels, I feel no pressure on pushing a story forward. They are just adventurers doing their stuff. There really is no overarching tale to be told here. It is what we are doing that becomes the tale. Very sandboxy. And I like that. As a GM, it's easy for me to run such a thing online.
In contrast, I just want to say that it's so hard playing online for me. I'm a very social person, and I love sitting at the table and actually interacting with everyone. And a lot of the things which I really, really enjoy about the social experience of role-playing games, tabletop role-playing games, that is, doesn't translate well for me to the online medium. Having said that, I did run some playtest for an adventure, a space adventure, which I'm currently writing. And my current Masks and New Generation campaign had 2 canceled sessions in the last 2 weeks. We just can't, as a group, can't muster the strength to actually roleplay. Everyone are a bit down due to the situation. However, we did manage to play in my Pathfinder campaign. We did our first online session. It was nice, but as you've mentioned, it's always so hard to remain focused. There's so much temptations of just getting up, getting something to eat, getting something to drink, switch over to the next tab because you've opened this spell description and now you're just sort of reading other stuff. It's so hard to remain focused. One of the ways in which I try to tackle it is to take quotes from the game and post them online and Twitter and Facebook just to make sure that even when I'm distracted, I'm still focused on the game. So it's a good way for me to remain focused in a very social networking environment. But it's hard, but it's very satisfying to actually make it. And I think it's so important to keep your games alive throughout this troubled times.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you guys are doing better and enjoying your games and discovering a whole world of new games and new platform to play online and new people to play with, which are not constrained by location and time because it's a different hour pretty much anywhere. So if you want to contact us, feel free to contact us at Twitter, at Facebook, at our email, show@dwarfcast.net, and drop us a line, tell us what you think, how you're coping with the current situation, or if you have any problem or question, feel free, contact us, and let's make all of our games better.
Later! On the Shoulders of Dwarves is shared under Creative Commons by attribution non-commercial 4. Intro and outro are by The Cliché Dio, and you can email us at show@dwarfcast.net.
On the shoulders of dwarves.